Thank you, Chris. And we have another Chris on the piano there. We welcome you to the teaching part of the service. And I want to sort of start with a question. What is your appearance in the world in which we live? Jesus gets to the real heart of the matter. The world has some values that are taught to us in all of our life. And so you are just bombarded 95% of the time of your life or more with the teaching of this world. Jesus' teaching comes in against it. His values are always the opposite. And the world, he said, will surprise you. It's the enemy of God. It'll teach you things that become natural to you, but it's not what I want for you in this world. And so we come to encourage you on the values of Jesus Christ. We have six values as a church. And number one is, we believe God's purpose for the church is that we be transformed into the image of Jesus Christ, so that the character of Christ is in us and we live that character out in our lives. The story is told of a little mouse. And the mouse didn't know how to function in life, and the mouse was frightened. And the mouse met a cat. And then a magician came along and said, I can turn you into a cat. So the little mouse got turned into a cat. But then the cat met a dog. And the magician came along and said, I'll turn you into a dog. Then the dog met a tiger, because the dog now was fearful of the tiger. So the magician said, I'll turn you into a tiger. Problem is, the tiger met the hunter. And fear was there. And so the magician came and said, I cannot turn you into a hunter. I'm going to turn you back into a mouse. Because though you today have the body of a tiger, you have the heart of a mouse. Man would like to have the appearance of success, the appearance that he's in control, the appearance that he's on top of the world, and the appearance comes through wealth, and that's what's taught to you. Run after money, but Jesus said your life doesn't consist in the abundance of things which one possesses. Or popularity and beauty gives you another appearance. Brains, I suppose. You're smarter than other people. That gives you the appearance of a tiger. But inwardly, man still has the heart of a mouse. He doesn't know about tomorrow. He has nothing that will carry him beyond. And Jesus comes to people who realize that they are but mice. And he wants to turn us into himself to give us true life, because he said, I have come to give you life and more abundantly. I will give you success in life. And so the subject of the morning is on our Beatitudes, his Beatitudes. And we began with this a few weeks ago, blessed are they who are poor in spirit. Mice-like, they're nothing. And blessed are they who mourn. We looked at that 2 weeks ago. Mourning over sin. And it's something that is to embrace the people of God. Have you found yourself mourning over sin? The world says just enjoy it. Pursue it. But don't mourn over sin. Have you mourned over the hundreds of babies that are being murdered? The abortion every year? Does that ever grab you? Do you ever see broken lives and hearts, does that just cause you grief? And then, of course, mourning over sin. I ask you to realize purity in your marriage, transparency in your marriage. Do you mourn over the sin? Paul said, I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwells no good thing. I want to do what is good, but he said, I can't really find the way. He realized there's nothing good inside of him. He needed Christ. And he mourned over his sin. And Christ comes along, and he comes to the person who has poverty of spirit. He comes to the one who mourns over sin. And that person becomes a meek person. We're looking at meekness this morning. Do you remember any class in high school or in college that said, I want to teach you this morning how to be a meek person? Not likely. You see, the executives and the executive suites of our nation are not characterized by meekness. An executive would never want to be known as a meek person. You see, the strong, the self-sufficient, the capable, the ambitious, the aggressive. You see, the world believes in survival of the fittest. Jesus believes in survival of the meekest. I want you to go in your Bible to Matthew chapter 5, 1 to 10. And then we're going to read that and have a prayer. And then we're going to go to somewhat of a message. Matthew chapter 5, the great Gospels, the beginning of Jesus' teaching, that incredible Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5, 6, and 7, the most searching passage of Scripture that I know of are the Beatitudes and the Sermon on the Mount. By them, he said, you will determine whether you're in the kingdom of God or not, or the authenticity as to the degree of participation in the kingdom of God. Matthew 5, and we're going to read 1 through verse 10. Would you stand with me, please? When he saw the crowds, he went up in on a mountainside and sat down, as the rabbis did, to teach. His disciples came to him, and he began to teach them. He's teaching the disciples. And he says, blessed are the poor in spirit. Theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they who mourn. They will be comforted. You see, the things of this world don't give you the kingdom of heaven, and they don't comfort you. When I'm with people who are dying, they're not saying to me, Randy, I just want to check the Dow Jones this morning. I just want to check. They need the comfort of God. But look what he goes on today. This is our sermon. Blessed are the meek. They will inherit the earth. I'll stop there. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, you said blessed, which means your approval, your smile. And we long for your smile in our lives, Lord. I want to ask, Lord, you'd open our hearts. Open our hearts, Lord, to your teaching on meekness. And give us meekness, Lord, teachableness, to receive the word of God. That it's not for my neighbor, but it's for me, Lord. Help us to understand and receive that word. So, Lord, I and these people open ourselves up to your light, that all-searching, loving, powerful light of the Holy Spirit using Scripture. Shine into the deepest part of our lives and search our hearts, Lord. Lord, would you sear us if you need to and convict us? But would you remember to heal us, Lord, and to give us that character and image of Jesus in our lives. We want to be obedient to what you say, so shape us and mold us, Lord, into the precious image of Christ. And I pray it in your name. Amen. Thank you. Please be seated. Jesus not only taught meekness, but Jesus lived meekness. He not only taught it, but he lived it. And that's the teaching in the Sermon on the Mount. Many will say unto him in that day of judgment, Lord, we've done this in your name. We've done that. We've gone to church. We've cast out demons. He says, I never knew you. But he says, he who does the will of my Father, the will of God is that we be meek and we live it. Jesus lived it. I want you to draw back a picture of the Gabbatha, the judgment hall where Jesus was there before Pilate. There you have the exemplification. Jesus, the example of meekness. Two men faced each other, Jesus and Pilate. Jesus was the meekest of all men. Pilate was a man of extraordinary pride. Now, Jesus appeared as the epitome of weakness, frail, helpless, destined to be obliterated from the earth. Pilate was the personification of power, the tides of history with Rome. And he was appearing to be the heir of the earth. He had the world in his hands. It appeared. But the two figures, opposite ends of a tragic paradox. Jesus Christ, the prisoner, was the free man. He was in absolute control. He would die, but he rose again from the dead. And he would not only inherit the earth, but he inherited the whole universe. Pilate, heard much about him lately? The governor. He was prisoner of his own pride. Couldn't control his soul. Pilate died. No inheritance. Jesus says, blessed are the meek. They will inherit the earth. We'll get to that. These are paradoxes. Jesus was the master of paradox. He seasoned his teachings with, like, last is first. Giving is receiving. Dying is living. Losing is gaining. Least is greatest. Submitting is promotion. Poor is rich. Gentle is stronger. Weakness is strength. Serving is ruling. John Stott said he used paradox to stand truth on end. Okay, what meekness is not? What meekness is not? Meekness is not mere niceness and personality. Let me show you a picture here. You know what I mean by personality? You know, you meet some people that are just, they seem so beautiful, you know. They're just so loving. And you might say, boy, they'd make a nice Christian. They're just so kind of kind. And that's the way they're endowed, you know, with personality and beauty. And kind of meek, aren't they? Well, does this guy look like he's meek? Wonder what he's saying. But I want to tell you this morning, meekness is not personality. Okay? Now, if you take a minute and don't look at Bill anymore, look back to me. You see, a person can have a nice, kind personality, but underneath may be a different kind of a person. Would you buy that so far? About 20 years ago, when I was a young guy, my secretary said, there's a lady I'd like to talk to you. Okay, send her in. I had a few minutes. And I said, hi, I don't think I met you. She gave me her first name. And she was dressed up like a Mennonite. Now, I know there's lots of Mennonites here, so forgive me. I know there's no Mennonite church in town, so you have to come to a Baptist church. But I mean the old-fashioned Mennonites. I mean, she was dressed like from here, in a dress right from here, down to her toes. And she appeared to be meek. And then she asked me a question. She says, would you baptize me? So we talked a bit about that. And I said, I don't know you. I just, where are you from? And she said, well, Calgary. I said, well, this isn't your home? No. I said, well, it would probably be really nice if you went to your church back home and the pastor baptized you. I said, what you up to? What you doing in Quesnel? She says, well, I'm just here for a week. I'm stripping each night at the Quesnel Hotel. I said, you're stripping. Anyhow, need to go on. Meekness is not personality. No matter what you look like. Now, I could tell you more, and I continue to pray for that young lady that she found the Lord. But meekness is righteousness as well. Okay? Get the picture. What does Galatians 5:23 say? It says, the evidence that God is in you. The fruit of the Spirit is meekness. It's a God-given thing. It's not a personality-driven thing. And that's important for some of you that think you can be abrasive and think that you can get up and just be who you think you are and say, that's my personality, and I'll talk the way I want. I'll do what I want. You are meddling with the people of God, and Jesus Christ did not have that as something that he ever fell back upon. Okay, what is meekness, anyhow? What is meekness? I wrote a definition of meekness down, and I kind of going to stick with it so far. In my studies, I think meekness is the quality of heart. It's planted by the Spirit of God, and it's to give a Christ-like dispensation or disposition of gentleness. It's a patient, trusting spirit of humility, but it's before God and it's before man. Okay, let's come back to Jesus. What was Jesus like? Well, tell you what Jesus was like. He was one, 1 Peter 2:23, when he suffered, he didn't threaten. Okay? When mocked upon, spat upon, he didn't answer. He didn't retaliate. On the cross, he said, I could call 12 legions of angels. I think a legion was 1,000 angels. He had the power to call all those angels to his rescue, as it were, on the cross. But he didn't. What do you do when someone hurts you? When someone injures you? Are you like Jesus? He never even threatened. He was quiet before Pilate, the meek Jesus. When Peter denied him, he restored him to service and to fellowship. When Judas came with the soldiers and betrayed him, Jesus said, friend. And Jesus never said anything insincerely. He sincerely said that. Judas. Even in death, he pleaded, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. But he wanted to forgive those who were killing him. And in all of life, Jesus extended love instead of retaliation. And he's calling you and I to be meek. Not in personality, but in love. So every personality here can be meek if you want allow the Holy Spirit to do his job in your heart. Jesus, at the worst moment of his life, didn't retaliate. On the cross, when the pain was going deep, he didn't retaliate. Why do you think God allows some of you to be hurt by other people? So that you can have a chance to be Jesus Christ. So so that you can meekly live life and grow in him. You're called to be meek. And that is power. The Greek word for meek means, it's used of a wild horse who's tamed. It's used as a gentle breeze. That's the sense, the refreshment of a meek person in this world. Okay, let's define meekness by the Bible. Let's go to Psalm chapter 37, because meekness, you see, is meekness before God. Let's go to Psalm 37. That's right in the middle of the scriptures. And I know you can find that, Psalm 37. Look at verse 11, first of all. Psalm 37, verse 11. But the meek will inherit the land and enjoy great peace. Meekness is twinned up with peace. A meek person before God, what's he like? Well, look at verse 3. You back up, you get the context of that. I always try and interpret the Bible by the context. In verse 3, trust in the Lord and do good. So a meek person before God is one who is trusting in the Lord. Secondly, look at verse 4 of Psalm 37. Trust in the Lord and do good. You dwell in land. You inherit land, right? Inherit the earth. You enjoy safe pasture, safety. But secondly, a meek person delights himself in the Lord, and God gives him the desires of his heart. So it's somebody who is delighting himself in God. That is, God just moves him along in life. He delights himself in God. God is part of his whole life. God is part of his speech. God is part of his face. God is part of every part of him he's part of. And that's, do you delight in God? You're here this morning. Are you delighting in God? Or is there something in you that's saying, well, I'm just kind of here with my wife, just kind of here with my family. I'm just kind of here, but I'm not really delighting in God. Fact is, Randy, I'm not really thinking of God through those songs. Wouldn't that be a disaster, a travesty, singing those glorious songs and you're not with it, delighting in God? But you go further down, verse 5, it says, commit your way unto the Lord. Trust in him, he'll bring it to pass. Meek person not only is trusting, God's is all, but he delights himself and he commits himself. But he goes further than that in verse 8 and 9. Look at verse 7 rather. He's still before the Lord. He waits patiently for him. Verse 8, he refrains from anger. You see, the meek person doesn't allow the occasions of life to turn his spirituality around. Life will throw some pretty tough stuff at you. Right now, you may have, right, your lot today may be the worst moment of your life that you've ever experienced. You're in tears. Jesus is saying, this is a time to trust. He that dwells in the secret place of the Most High God will abide under the shadow of the Almighty. And he says, I will say of the Lord, Lord, you're my refuge, you're my fortress, you're my God, and in him I'm going to trust. Even through this cancer, I'm going to trust you, God. I'm going to trust you through this desertion of my spouse, this divorce. I'm going to trust you through this person who won't make it right with me. I'm still going to forgive him like Jesus did on the cross. And I'm going to restore him, though he denied me. You see, when we trust, when we delight, when we commit, when we're still before God and we say, God, I just leave it all in your hands. And you don't take anger. He gives safe pasture. He gives us the desire of his heart, of our heart. He lets us inherit the land. Here's what meekness is. Meekness is, this is a definition that Hughes gives. Meekness is a deep trust in the sovereign power of God. God is more powerful than your situation. And he's asking you to be meek through it all. And God delights to advance people who don't advance themselves. Okay, that's meekness before God. But meekness must be demonstrated to others. And I've sort of alluded to that. Look, go look at Titus chapter 3. Now that's toward Hebrews in the Old, in New Testament. So let's go to Titus chapter 3. And that's just before Hebrews, I believe, yeah. 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, Titus. That's on page 845 if you've got yourself a pew Bible. Titus chapter 3. What's a meek person like in regards to his horizontal relationships now? Not his vertical relationship with God, but what's a meek person like on the earth? Okay. Tell me whether you're meek. First of all, be subject to rulers and authorities. The word there is to go under, to submit. Is that a meek heart that you have? Well, how about to be obedient, to do whatever is good? Look at this, to slander no one, to be peaceful, considerate. And then here comes the word meekness. It's now spoken of in the NIV here is true humility, but the word is meekness. So to show meekness toward everybody. So you're to be meek toward me. You're to be meek toward the government. You're to be meek toward everybody that you meet. Everybody is over someone else in this world. So I'm to be meek to those who are my supervisor. I'm to be meek, of course, to God, but I'm to be meek to everybody. So it says there, I'm to be meek and show true humility to all men, even the ungodly, even the ungodly. Now, I won't ask you for a poll, but how many are going to vote to extinguish the HSD? How many want to keep it? Okay. Well, we are to be subject to the government. Whatever the government comes down with, God's greater. He's got great plans. And he wants us to be meek. Sometimes we complain so much about our country, but I don't hear many of you praying for your country. I join in many, many prayer meetings. And I don't think I hear a prayer for weeks for our government, for our country. But I can sure hear you complaining. I certainly can. Is that probably the subject of your McDonald's coffee this week? Meekness needed for the Christian. Okay. So living with a gentle, submissive spirit. That means not seeking my rights, by the way. The spiritually impoverished Christian who mourns over his sin, who is meek, realizes he has no rights. You see, the Bible is not a system, a based system of rights. The Bible is a system of responsibility, what I'm to do, not my rights. I'm to bear injuries when they come. I'm not to have a spirit of abrasiveness and say, that's the way I am. You're more like the devil than you're like Christ if you're a conscious, abrasive person. But secondly, and we're getting down here, I always smile when I see the clock up there. I really do, because I was here a couple of years, and my old church asked me if I'd come back for the weekend. They flew Sandy and I back there, and they got a new pastor. And I noticed the clock was gone. And I said, you put a clock up there for me, and now the clock's not there anymore. And I said, I went to Campbell River. There was no clock, but I said, they put a clock up there within a month. So I don't know why that is, but... live life with a gentle, submissive spirit. And if you'll do that, if you let Jesus so fill you that you're like that, it'll go a long ways in your relationships. This series of message could easily be entitled Principles to Have Effective Relationships with God and with others. The meek spirit. Now we're starting to get down the wire, but let's just look at this. You need to wear some good clothing. Colossians 3 and 12 would be the reference. It just says, put on the right clothing. Some of you put on some clothing this morning you wouldn't wear to the mine. It's a different kind of clothing. Well, Jesus says, you know, put on clothing. Colossians 3:12. Why don't we go to that? We've got a bit of time here. Go back from Titus 3. Go back to Colossians chapter 3. That's on page 834 of your little Bible. Colossians 3 and 12. I won't quote it in the King James. I might lose you if I do that. But verse 12. Colossians 3:12. Therefore, as God's chosen people. Remember, you've got a high calling there, folks. You've been chosen by God. Jesus said, you've not chosen me. I've chosen you. Now I ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit. What fruit are you talking about? Not just winning people to Christ, but he wants to produce the fruit of the Holy Spirit in us. And so he says, Paul says, therefore, as the chosen people of God, holy and dearly loved. Wow. You are dearly loved by God. And that is much greater than the love of anybody in this world. You are dearly loved by God. And he's saying, please put on the right clothing in life. And then he begins to define it there. Ah, compassion. Have compassion on people. Kindness. And there you go, humility. Gentleness is the word there for meekness, praise, and patience. And bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you have against each other. Forgive as the Lord forgive you. And above all those virtues, put on another coat, and it's the coat of love. And that binds everything together in perfect unity. Jesus wore clothing. And his main clothing was love. They couldn't pick Jesus out in the crowd. He dressed like one of the guys. Judas said, well, I know him, and I'll pick him out, and the guy I kiss, that's Jesus. But I tell you, you could see Jesus wearing clothing. He shone with kindness. He shone with love. He was shining all the time with those things. Are you shining that way? Does it kind of resonate out of your system? Or are you, I need my rights? Well, now we're getting down to the nitty-gritty. Not only is meekness demonstrated to God and to others by a gentle, submissive spirit, and we're to have the forgiveness clothing and the love clothing, but look at what else. Oh, no. Jesus, you want me to model you in relationships. Now, go over in your Bible to Peter. 1 Peter. Now, just before you read Peter, I want you to think of Peter. I want you to think of Peter. You remember Bill Parcells in that opening shot? Some of you are still football nuts, aren't you? Yeah. This Bill Parcells, I said to you, didn't look like he was a meek person at all. Well, Peter, in his opening days, was far from being meek. I mean, him and the guys, like James and John, somebody went across James and John's path. And James and John said, Lord, he's not following us. Let's consume him. Let's bring down fire from heaven and just burn him up. That's what we should do. And so Peter had that same kind of spirit. Even after he was filled by the Holy Spirit, he didn't want to join the Jews and the Gentiles together. He just didn't like that sort of stuff. He liked one congregation, you know. Well, anyhow, Peter is worked upon by God. And he becomes more and more like Jesus. So now when he writes out of the arena of experience and by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, and he's talking first to wives. Wives, can you give me a wave? Are you there? Yeah. Got some good news for you. Great news for you. This is incredible news for you, wives. For you to have successful marriages. Man, you can do it, women. You can do it. And here's the answer. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 4. I'm going to put on some pretty nice pearls and clothing for you. Let's see what Peter says is the answer, okay? 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 4. Wives. Oh, let's start verse 1. Wives. Are you here? Forgive me for that introduction. I know you have to forgive me because you're a meek person, right? Okay, yeah. In the same way. Oh, in what way? In the same way as Jesus. The first verses refer back to the last verses of 1 Peter 2. Where Jesus, the meek one, didn't retaliate. He was meek. Now we read, wives, be submissive to your husbands. Ah! What? Well, look at verse 4. 3, your beauty should not come from outward adornment. How many minutes did you spend in front of the mirror this morning? Some of you are so pretty. It must take a long time to get those eyebrows and everything going. Man, I can go into all that washroom in 5 minutes and look like this. You know what I mean? That's all I can do. Sandra goes in there. She's in there 5, 10 minutes. She comes out. She's not dressed at all. 15 minutes. Well, what's going on in there? You know? And it's outward adornment. That's what's happening. Okay. Your beauty should not come from outward adornment and braiding the hair. Wearing of gold and fine clothes. Huh? Instead, it should be what? The inner self. The unfading beauty. This is God speaking. The unfading beauty of a meek. That's the Greek word there. A gentle and quiet spirit. And it has great price, great worth in God's sight. And that's the way the holy women of old operated. So girls, are you up for it? Will you say, by Jesus Christ and by his power, I'm going to be a meek wife. Just stand up if you can do that, please. No. And the husbands are saying what? Amen, right? Now Peter, hold it. Peter says, I heard that, amen. And you guys had better listen to me. So look at what Peter does. He says, keep reading, guys, after the amen. Uh-oh. So, verse 7, husbands, in the same way. Oh, what way? The same way. Go back to verse 1. Wives, in the same way as Jesus, be submissive. Husbands now, in the same way. So husbands, you are naked. At home, if you're not wearing meek clothing, as you are women, and as it's great in the sight of God, meekness, this is great in the sight of God, if husbands will be submissive. He said, I never thought I'd hear that in the Baptist church, for sure. But what does the scripture say? Husbands, in the same way, be considerate as you live with your wives and treat them with respect. They're weaker physically than you are. But you are heirs together of the gracious gift of life. And Peter says, I'm telling you that, fellas, so your prayers get answered. Your prayers get answered. See, he's saying, do you want to have a good marriage, guys? You're going to get married, and I plead with you to choose the right one. I always talk to these incredible young people. Choose the right one, but then realize that good relationships don't come from beauty. You know, I know you're attracted. You walk down, poof. You know, I still remember so many stories of watching young people. I had this young secretary, and she was about 20 or something. She was just so very beautiful person. And I hired this young assistant one summer. And he came in, and I was waiting for him to come. I came out of my office, and I said, hey, welcome, Richard. And he started walking toward me. And then he saw the secretary. He goes, poof. And he was just, it was gone. It was gone. He actually ended up marrying her, and it's incredible. And he was only a teeny bopper, and she was like 22, and she says, I'm waiting until you get 20 before you get married. But anyhow, knocked over by beauty. I'm saying beauty can only, like, God made Sandra so beautiful, I was attracted to her. But then he made her dumb enough that she'd marry me. No, she's not dumb. She's very smart. I'm in the doghouse. Okay. Wow. Sorry, hon. Her brother's a general of the Canadian Army. Lots of intellect there. Okay, let's go back here. Really, General Vincent Kennedy. Okay, what am I at here? I'm here to tell you that husbands and wives, when you choose a spouse, look for godliness. That's the answer. And meekness in your marriage, sir, will continue your marriage. And meekness in your marriage, ladies, it's in the sight of God of great price. And so relationships will be successful in God's eyes if you have meekness. But if you're standing up and saying, no, in God's eyes, you won't have success. You'll still be together, maybe, but hey. So what I'm saying to you is, 1 Peter 3:4, wives. 1 Peter 3:7, husbands. Big prescription for the guys, right? Big prescription. What else we want to look at here this morning as we kind of wind things down? Well, the results of meekness, salvation, if you had time to look at Psalm 149:4. God gives salvation to the meek. He also gives rest. Do you remember Jesus? Jesus said this. He said, come to his disciples. Come unto me. Come unto me. He said, and I'll give you rest. All you that labor and are heavy laden, come unto me. I'll give you rest. And he said, take my yoke upon you. And he said, learn of me. Learn of me. Christians, you need to learn of Jesus. It just doesn't come to you. You've got to learn of him. And he said, I'm meek. I'm lowly in heart. Matthew 11:29. And if you come, you'll find rest unto your souls. I'll give you rest. Rest from worrying about money and what you look like and adorning and all that sort of stuff and popularity. Let Jesus give you rest. And then, of course, what else do you get? Well, if you had time, go to Psalm 25:9. It says, the meek he will guide. You see, God can guide a meek ship just very, very easily. He just has to kind of touch it. You ever just touch the little ship and God will guide it very easily. But an obstinate, stubborn Christian, asserting his rights, God can't guide you in that respect. But the meek, he likes to guide and also teach. And of course, Matthew 5:5, blessed are the meek. That doesn't mean happy are the meek, although happiness comes, but it's God's approval of the meek. He just loves to say, this is my child. There's a meek person in Camp River Baptist. I love him. I'm with him. I'm for him. Blessed are the meek. And then, of course, they're going to inherit the earth. Wow, his approval, but his inheritance. And Romans 8 and 17 says this. Well, verse 16, first of all, says, we know we have the assurance, his Spirit, his Holy Spirit, bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. Children of God. And if we're children, then we're heirs of God. And we're joint heirs with Jesus Christ. If so be, ha, if we suffer with him, that we may be glorified together. You see, life's going to call you to suffering. But through meekness, you'll inherit the earth. And of course, Revelation tells us we're going to reign with Christ. There will be a Garden of Eden here on this earth again. He'll burn up this earth. There will be a whole new earth. And all the perfections of Eden will be enjoyed by the godly and by the meek, by those who really make it to the kingdom of heaven. Inherit the earth means simply this in my language. You get to enjoy life as God intended you to enjoy it in Eden. So today you can have a taste of heaven if you walk. In meekness, let's pray. Lord, thank you for your love. We sung about it. Amazing love. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us. We should be called children of God. If children, we're heirs, Lord. Wow. We don't deserve it, Lord. We don't deserve anything. But Lord, that we'd be wise to be poor in spirit, mourn over sin, and to be meek as you are meek. So we come to learn of you, Jesus. We really do. Because we know in ourselves, Lord, we don't have meekness. We have so much of the world that's just sneaking in us. God, change us, I pray. Change us so the world will know that we're your followers. And we will follow you, Jesus, the light of life. Take the glory, Jesus, but continue to work on us in thy name. Amen.